network. We've got our 92.3 The Fan pregame coverage. We've got our network coverage. We are all over the place tonight, as we are for each and every Browns game, as we've been for the past few years. It's outstanding. We love being the home of the Browns, and we love being able to bring you all the content you possibly need when it comes to the Browns, who will open the preseason tonight with Shedeur Sanders as their starting quarterback. And obviously, Shedeur probably wouldn't normally be in this spot if the Browns didn't have injuries. Joe Flacco is sitting this one out. He's healthy, but the Browns have chosen not to play most of their starters. We'll get into that at some point during the show. Kenny Pickett is hurt. Dylan Gabriel is hurt. And I think they just believe that. And obviously, Deshaun Watson is hurt. But Tyler Huntley, I think if Tyler Huntley, and you tell me if you agree or disagree with me on this, Dan, and I know that Daryl Ryder would agree with me on this because we talked to him about it yesterday. If Tyler Huntley was up to speed and had only been here more than 48 hours, he probably would be getting the first half of this game. But that's not the way it shakes out. Shedeur Sanders will get the start. And so do you agree with that? Let's start there. Do you think if Tyler Huntley was healthy, he'd be starting tonight?
Absolutely. And I only say that because I want, and I think the Browns think the same way that we all are with a lot of this. We want Shedeur Sanders to succeed. And I think every Browns fan could say, we want Shedeur Sanders to succeed. Why? Because if Shedeur Sanders succeeds, that means the Browns may possibly have a quarterback. And that's what all of us want. That is the odyssey that we have all been on for 26 years. So if that's the number one thing with this. If Tyler Huntley was here, yeah, he would start. Why? Because the Panthers are going to play their starters maybe for a series or two, and then we'd see their second string, and then that way Shedeur Sanders can go up against the third and the fourth string. And that way he can look good, he can build some confidence, but hey, that's not how the dice fell. Opportunity arises, let's go.
If I'm Carolina, I don't know how long I'm leaving my first team defense in. I don't. What do you gain if you're Carolina, if you're going up against the team's third string offense and you're the first, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I
just feel good. Okay. Yeah, we feel good. We beat up vibes on the team's third string offense. I'm getting them out there. I'm getting their work in and I'm getting them off the field. If I'm Carolina tonight, there's not a lot of messing around with my starters. I know they want to play their starters tonight and that's fine, but they're out and they're out. Like, you're on the field. We're going to do a drive. And as long as you look somewhat successful, you're off the field.
My guess would be it's good vibes mixed with getting used to, okay, this is the play call. This is what it's going to sound like. This is how we're going to operate, like, on both sides of the ball. It is getting those reps when you've got people yelling in the stands, and it's kind of a little bit tougher to hear than it is at practice, no matter how much, you know, gray noise you shoot in there. It still kind of gets you into that flow. Like, I can understand where they would come from and going, all right, let's start these guys. Like, just to get those reps and get those ideas in. On the Shedeur side of things, though, because that's, okay, I know where everybody is pointing.
Right.
Have you heard this discourse floating around that the Browns are not putting Shedeur Sanders in a position to succeed?
You mean overall or for tonight's game?
Just overall and tonight's game. Like, tonight's game just being another example of how the Browns are not putting him in a position to succeed.
Have I heard it? Yeah, I've heard it. Do I believe it? No. At the end of the day, he's a fifth-round draft pick. He's not a first-round draft pick. He's not a second-round draft pick. I can keep leading you on with more numbers. I'm not doing that. Tell me a team in the NFL that's setting their fifth-round or lower quarterback in a place for success by not playing them and giving them the opportunity to learn. A fifth-round draft pick, the best way to have success for them is to kind of understand what the system is. How things work, where you're going with this thing. I think that Shedeur Sanders, I'm hoping the man, he was the steal of the century in the fifth round. I'm hoping for that. And he's going to get, here's the thing. I mean, he's extremely lucky. He's getting the chance to show us what he can do tonight. So I know people probably don't want to hear this, but the organization's going above and beyond on this one. He's a fifth round draft pick at the end of the day. It's hard, you know. It's hard. I want him to be great. I'm not against Shedeur Sanders. That's the whole thing. But if you're saying, are they putting him in a position to succeed? Well, fifth round draft pick. The way to make him succeed is to make sure he knows the system. So when he's ready, and the time is there for him to get the opportunity, which most first, second round quarterbacks that haven't been picked out of the first or second round don't get that opportunity. unless it's mop-up time at the end of the game. I mean, he's got a golden opportunity tonight. And yes, he's got to face adversity. He doesn't have the best wide receivers with him. He's not going to have the best offensive line with him. Is he going to have the best running back? No. But they're giving you a chance to go out there and show how hungry you are, how good you can be against the first team. If Shedeur Sanders goes out there and lights it up with this offense against their first team defense, hell yeah, you got an argument coming up on Monday. People are going to be like, why isn't Shedeur Sanders? And you know what? You're right. You're right. I give it to you. But your point on are they setting him up for success? What fifth-round drafted quarterback is set up for success this early in their career?
It's a great point. I mean, it's the great thing that has come with this is they're like the people who are out there defending him saying that this is a poor situation, I don't think they totally understand the situation. And maybe it's because I've got Mike Martz in my head. Remember we had my coach Martz on probably about 2 weeks ago that was? Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, four-way quarterback competition, I'm here for that. But let me add in the fact that it's probably not.
And guess what?
The cream's going to rise up really quick.
Can I say one thing? Like, competition, that doesn't mean it's not a weighted competition.
Yep.
That doesn't mean it's going to be a fair competition.
Exactly.
It's going to be a competition the way the people who are writing the rules of the competition want to see it play out.
It's a great point.
It's not, they said this was going to be a quarterback competition. Nowhere did I hear the word fair.
Yeah. They didn't exactly go, this will be a quarterback competition. Here are the rules that we will be competing under. Like, they did not present any of that to anyone. They just went, yeah, it's going to be a four-way quarterback competition, and we'll see where it goes from there. They could be competing for the starting job. They could be competing for the backup job. They could be competing for the third-string job, and they could be competing for the practice squad.
It's like that stupid Brady Bunch movie where the Brady's won the newer one. Well, I guess newer isn't that new, but, you know, the Brady's won the contest. Because they came out and sang, but there was no way they were better than anybody else. Yeah. But the monkeys happened to be the judges. That's why they won. I'm telling you, that's what this contest is.
So
it's the same thing as that.
So I'm with you. This whole thing of Shedeur Sanders not being in a position to succeed and all of that kind of stuff, I think is utter hogwash. And the other person who had the exact thought was Dan Orlovsky. And he went on Twitter and said this, and he said it beautifully.
Will everybody stop with the Shedeur Sanders is being set up to fail narrative? Who do you want to start the game? It's preseason week one. First option, Joe Flacco. He's played for like 20 years. He's not going to start preseason week one. The next two options would be a Kenny Pickett or a Dylan Gabriel. Both are dealing with hamstring injuries. Neither has practiced a ton recently. If they've done anything, I believe it's been 7-on-7. Who do you want to start the game? The next two options are Shedeur and Snoop Huntley. Shador's been there. Snoop Huntley just got there. So while Shedeur may not have had reps with the ones, what else do you want them to do in Cleveland? It's an opportunity for him. It may not be the ideal opportunity. Very rarely is it for a fifth round pick, but it's an opportunity for him to go out there and do in a game what many have reported he's done in practice. Stop with the setup to fail narrative.
Hmm. I honestly, that's the first time I've heard that.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
It's exactly how I feel about the whole thing. This guy's being given an opportunity that no other fifth-round pick is being given. There's no setup to fail. There's only setup to succeed or setup to show where you are. Setup to show what you've learned. The expectations for Shedeur Sanders at this point throughout the NFL are low. I'm not trying to go Phelps without Phelps being here, but he's right. The dude fell to the fifth round for a reason. So they're saying, let's see what this looks like. Let's see how he looks in the huddle. Let's see if he can get the plays out. Let's see if he can make 2 to 3 really nice throws. Let's see if some of the habits in college and maybe be broken. Maybe he's not fading as much as he was in fading right the way that he was in college or holding onto the ball too long or any of that kind of stuff. Let's just see where this stands. And you know what? If we all come back here on Monday and go, this dude needs to get more reps, then my guess is he's going to get more reps because it's the preseason. There are reps to be given in preseason games, especially now that you got 2 runs of joint practices. I mean, there's a reason why he didn't play that much in joint practices. Why? Because he's going to play 50-some-odd snaps, according to Kevin Stefanski.
There you have it.
Let's go. I mean, that's my whole thing with this. I don't understand this discourse to save my soul. I don't understand why people are saying that he's being put in a position to fail. I don't understand any of it. Jason Fitz had this to say on a lose-lose situation. He said this on the Yahoo Sports podcast, and I was listening to this morning, and it just made my head spin.
This is, to me, the ultimate lose-lose for the Browns. Let me be clear. I'm not anti-Shadur. In fact, I'm rooting for Shadur at this point. I think the narrative has gone so far the wrong way on Shadur. I would love Shadur to come in and absolutely crush it, but this is a lose-lose for the Browns, because if he goes in and he's absolutely terrible, it only feeds everybody that wants to find a reason to hate Shadur Sanders. So that's negative portion number one. Also, understanding that he's coming off of missing time with a sore shoulder. How many reps has he really gotten with everybody? Like, all of these things are going to make it difficult.
I disagree. I severely disagree.
Oh, I think it's a lose-lose for the Browns, too. Again, if he looks good.
I don't see it as a lose-lose.
Oh, well, the first, if he looks good, people are going to, I guess if he looks good against their first team defense, then maybe it isn't a lose-lose. If he looks good, maybe it's not a loss.
If he looks good, it looks fantastic. It looks like you might have a diamond in the rough. You may have somebody that everybody goofed up on.
If he looks bad, everyone's going to be like, well, he played with a third-team offense.
Yeah, if he looks bad, you throw your hands up in the air and you go, hey, man, he's a fifth-round pick. He's a developmental quarterback. He's developing. Like, there's a way that you can hand wave anything that is going to take place in all of this. This is not a lose-lose. If anything, it's a win shoulder shrug.
All right, I'll buy that. Wheels is in a car. What's up, Wheels?
Hey, guys. I don't get the point of starting Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. We already know
they're not starting today. You're talking about week one?
Yeah, week one. I would give these guys opportunities. I'm in the gray on Shador. You know, if he works out, that's great. If he doesn't, you know, it sucks. But the thing is, you got to start these young guys. I mean, what are you playing for? You're not making the playoffs this year, let's be honest.
Wheels, I hear you. You can say that. Any fan can say that. But are you really going to walk up to an NFL player and go, you know what, you guys are going to suck this year, and we got a first-round draft pick, so let's just suck. Let's suck.
I mean,
let's not be good.
Why not? Like, I mean,
because you shouldn't be an athlete if you're walking on the field thinking we're going to lose and I want to lose for the franchise. It's not good for your own brand.
I'm not saying they should.
Okay.
But in the reality of as a fan and what the expectations are this year, I mean, yeah, Miles wants to win. I get it. I mean, it's Miles Garrett, but he's also playing for a multi-bazillion-dollar contract, which is the only reason he stayed here.
He already got it. I mean, right now,
he probably wants to win as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to win. You know who really wants to win? Kevin Stefanski should really want to win.
Yep. Yeah, don't even get me started on him. I don't know. I think he's a mid-level head coach at best. I think we're just dysfunctional because Kevin Stefanski, yeah, he's a good head coach. But he cannot reach that next level. Andrew Berry. He hasn't had many good draft picks.
We lost you.
All this points back to ownership.
Yep, it does. Everything. You're right. It's ownership. It's front office. It's ability. It's talent. It's all those things on the field. I get it. Good phone call. Appreciate it. Well thought out. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Shadur Sanders. Is he being set up to succeed? He'll start tonight. First preseason game of the year. You'll hear it on 92.3 The Fan. Fan, you know the game's right here tonight on 92.3 The Fan. So if you're out and about and you want to hear the latest, well, Andrew Siciliano's got you covered throughout the game tonight as he'll call play-by-play right here on the Browns Radio Network. He's Dan Menigan. I'm Andy Baskin. All right, so we're sitting here. We're just kicking around and contemplating, you know, are the Browns setting Shadur Sanders up for success? And we heard a couple people talk about that nationally, including Dan Orlovsky. Dan, just chime in on what you thought we heard there in the first segment.
So, main part of it being Dan Orlovsky going, what is this lose-lose nonsense that's floating about here? The kid's going to have an opportunity to go out there and play. Very few, if any, fifth-round picks have that level of opportunity to go out there. If he shows up and plays great, fantastic. If he doesn't, it's a fifth-round pick. He's developing. He's learning. Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports does a fantastic job on Inside Coverage, all the other Yahoo Sports podcasts that he's a part of, brought up the other side of that argument saying this is a lose-lose for the Browns and for Shadur Sanders, because if he looks terrible, then all the Shadur fans will, you know, basically look at this and go, or all the Browns fans, I should say, would say, he's terrible, he's not worth the time. If he looks great, then everybody's going to be yelling at Kevin Stefanski, saying, why hasn't this kid been out here before? And I don't see either of those as losses. I see both of those as being winning situations, because why? I'm on a 25-year odyssey to find a quarterback, Andy. And if this guy can happen to be that dude, fantastic. Let's see more of him to see if that's that guy that maybe we could end the odyssey.
I keep thinking back. Mike Lombardi's haunting me this week because I keep going back thinking about his interview with the morning show, talking about how drafts, you know, are for 2 years away, not for the next year.
Right, because rookies are bad.
And I keep thinking to myself, we have been so bad that we are banking on rookies all the time. At one point, if the Browns wanted to go into a two-back set before Judkins had all these issues, you could be looking at five rookies starting for the Browns at one point between offense, defense. You could be looking at either Gabriel or Sanders because only one of those guys can start. So there's one. Harold Fannin. You know, maybe you're in a two tight end set with two. I don't know. You're in a two tight end set with two running backs, which I don't think they'll. We never see that anymore, but it doesn't really matter. But it's just for the example. Fannin could be starting. Dylan Gabriel or Dylan Sanders could be starting. Quinshon Judkins and Sampson. Again, I know what's going on with Judkins. I'm just using that for an example. Mason Graham and Carson Schwesinger. All of those guys could be starting.
Right.
You know. And if that's the way it is, it's just like, oh, man, it's just, you don't reload like that in the NFL. We've got to figure this thing out at some point.
Correct. This is step one. I hate to say it that way because we've been stuck at step one and have made our way to step two and then occasionally step three to only then fall right back to step one. This is step one of a rebuilding roster. This is how this works. You have to bring in a whole bunch of rookies. You know year one's going to be a little shaky. You're hoping for some flashes because these rookies are no longer playing against guys who are going to go off and become architects and accountants and lawyers and doctors and all of that kind of stuff. You are only playing now against other professional football players. The game is going to move faster. The guys are going to be stronger. They're going to be bigger. They're going to be smarter. Why? Because they're professional football players. That is their job. That is their life. That's why rookies are typically bad. You're waiting for flashes, and at the end of the season, they look better than they did at the beginning of the season. And if that's the case, then this is a success. I look at the same thing with Shedeur Sanders. If he walks out and scuffles today, hey, he's a fifth-round rookie. He's going to scuffle. It makes sense. If he rolls out and succeeds, I'm like, oh, man, maybe you got something that's an exception to the rule. Fantastic. Let's see it a little bit more in preseason game number two when you see the starters in the second string and the third string a little bit longer than the guys who are at the end of the roster.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Did you have another cut you wanted to play there real quick? I can't remember. I thought we had talked about that.
Ah, we can roll on.
Let's take some phone calls. Let's hear what other folks have to say. David is in Chagrin Valley.
Hey, David,
how are you?
Hey guys, I'm on my bike. I'll pull over to the side for you for just a minute.
All right.
Fantastic.
I'm just listening, streaming while riding. So
don't text.
Yes, I drive safely. I let your car do that stuff on the road.
All right, look out for that car, first of all. That's
hopefully
all we hear
is the car. A decent cadence.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Now we can hear you. Yes.
So just a quick take. You know, RG3 got all the first round reps. Kirk Cousins didn't. He had a slow maturation, you know, dragging the grass of the NFL. I think Kevin Stefanski had got to enjoy the results of that development process. Maybe Kevin Stefanski thinks he can grow Shedeur into a more accurate version of Kirk Cousins.
I like that idea. I don't know if that's true, but I like it. I like it for either.
He should have the first round reps. Kirk Cousins didn't get the first round reps. He did just fine.
Again, I ask you, if you're a quarterback and you're going up against a team's first team defense, is that not a first round rep? First team rep.
Oh, sure. He could get killed out there, or he could do great out there. But the point is, for Kevin Stefanski's intention all along, everyone's questioning not whether he should be out there. The question is Stefanski's intention for him that he would have been third stringer in this game if everyone was healthy. They're saying, why is he doing this to Shedeur? Well, maybe because he's seen it and how well it works before with Kirk Cousins. Maybe he sees something in his development that he thinks he's amazing once he's got his target. Maybe he needs to learn how to get through the reads. Maybe he needs to learn how to.
I totally agree.
Keep the huddle.
Right, hey, David, thank you for the phone call. Please be safe. We're hearing cars flying by at 100 miles an hour. Thank you. Thanks. I don't know. Have we ever had a cyclist call in before?
We may have. They just didn't announce that they were a cyclist. That's cool, though. Be safe out there because, you know, do the best you can because cars try their best. But, you know.
Dan is in Northfield.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, let me just pull over my unicycle.
Okay, cool.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'm proud of you for being able to balance like that while on the phone.
Dun, 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 dun.
Did,
okay.
did you train the bear to do it, too?
No, just the kids. So I need to know why everybody's like, come on with the negative. It's football season. Come on. Like, this guy's going to do great, or he's not. But, like, then I hope next week Kenny Pickett starts. Like, exactly. Let's play him up. Get him in there.
I agree completely.
Are they setting him up to succeed? That's what the question is. If Shador starts, are they setting him for to succeed?
Not my problem.
All right. That's not a bad answer. Dan, might be the best answer I've heard all week. Thank you.
This feels like the Jeff Phelps don't let the millionaires ruin your day. I don't know. It's not my problem. I don't control this.
What a classic.
Let me tell you. I look at this whole thing as just a total, like, all right, let's just see what's out here. Let's scratch the lotto ticket, and we'll see if maybe the $1 million is still sitting on there because we've scratched one part of the lotto ticket. That's all I want with this. Like, let's just see. I want to see if he can get in and out of the huddle. I want to see if there are pre-snap penalties. I want to see if guys are in the right spot, and I want to see if he can process quick enough. That's all I'm asking. Three-step ball out, five-step ball out, play on time. Let's just see where everything sits. And if it looks like crud, well, then we throw our hands up in the air and go, fifth-round rookie, he needs more time. He's a developmental quarterback. Let's move on.
We got six other quarterbacks in that quarterback room. Just throw anybody else out there.
They got bunk beds going on in there, and they might even have hammocks hanging at this point.
Let's go Roman in Canton. What's up, Roman?
What's up, fellas? How we living?
We're large.
Doing well, man.
Good. Just wanted to call, I think, this whole season is going to be throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks. I don't think we can put much weight on whether or not they're putting him out there and, you know, setting him up for success, because as a coach, you're supposed to do that no matter who's under center. So I think Stefanski's not the guy who would, you know, just try and throw him out there to let him fail, especially from all accounts. Guys, I feel like we've heard nothing but good things about Shadir, and like, he was speeding that one time and got that ticket. But other than that, since we've drafted him, I've heard nothing but good things about what he does in the community, what he's doing at the facility, how he is with other teammates. So, you know, these negative narratives about him, I don't know how fabricated they are, but I think we're going to see how he does. And like you guys have been saying, he was a fifth-round pick. If he has a bad day, then that's what happens. If he has a good day, then maybe he takes a step up on the depth chart.
Appreciate it, Roman. That makes sense. And
Can we go back? What are the negative narratives? That, you know, all the negative narratives came from the draft, right? Isn't that? Am I missing something?
Other than
the speeding ticket.
This is a true quarterback competition, he should be getting more first-team reps.
Can somebody stop and tell me what a true quarterback competition is? If the head coach wants to set someone up to win, guess what? They just had a true competition in the eyes of the head coach. I'm so tired of hearing this. Well, how come they're not getting equal reps with the first time? I thought this was supposed to be fair. Guys, this isn't peewee football. This is the NFL. They're going to set it up for the way it's going to be. And when you're paying someone more than someone else, guess what? They're going to get a better opportunity than the other guy. Shador made more money in college than he's making in the pros. Stop with the thinking that it's fair. It's not fair. Sorry, it's not going to be fair. Go ahead.
I agree with every last word that just came out of your mouth right there. It's why when these people get really grumpy and go, you need to bury the fact that he's a fifth-round quarterback, I'm like, no, you don't, because that's what's building what you're watching. Like, no, you can't forget that fact, because that's a reality.
Fair is, was it fair when Johnny Manziel took over for Brian Hoyer? Because all the hype was around Johnny Money Manziel, who didn't even look at the playbook. He didn't even, like, over this last week, I don't know why Manziel's creeped back into my head, but it has. It's driving me crazy, and it just makes me think how messed over Hoyer was while he was here. Like, we turned our back on one of our own so we could have this freak show come in here who is still ripping our city and come in here, not read the playbook, not care, and talk about how there weren't enough things to do while he was in Cleveland. Meanwhile, we had one of our own guys that was playing pretty good quarterback. If anybody, was it Dion that said pay the man on a Thursday night against the Bengals when Hoyer? Like, think about what we're doing here, right? Think about what we're talking about. But everybody had to have Manziel. He's Johnny Football. Johnny Horrible is what that idiot was.
And but we also, and I'd listen to people and they just, they kept digging and digging and digging. And what happened? We made a horrible turn. Like, this franchise has made more horrible turns and bad turns. And I don't want to hear again, oh, well, the Deshaun Watson, you know, that this is on. Guess what? If I'm Kevin Stefanski and I get, you know what, it out of three first round picks that could have been on the field because I've got a quarterback that can't play at all that everybody thought was going to be great. He wasn't. And guess what? You set the franchise back a decade. So don't tell me that Kevin Stefanski is a bad coach because of the talent. The talent's not his fault. They traded away three first-round picks and got nothing for him. More Browns preseason coming up after this. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, coming up at 11:20. Oh, Dan, tell everyone what's coming up at 11:20. Pretty pumped.
Coach Riz, baby. Coach Risland, Lance Risland, going to hop on with us and give us the way that a coach would sit and watch this game. I'm excited to pick his brain on how he is going to evaluate Shedeur Sanders in here. 11:20 for that one. I'm excited.
All right, and then Daryl Ryder's going to join us today too, huh?
Yes, sir.
So we got Daryl, we got Chris Hassenheimer coming up at noon, we got Chris Rose at 1 o'clock. I need to ask you this, too, before we get moving. Are we doing quick predicts today? It is a game night. I think in honor of Shedeur having his first start, yeah, I think we should.
I think we owe that to ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we've earned that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. All right. We're going to do quick predicts
today. We could ask Coach Prime. You think Coach Prime would want us to do it? Coach, you want us to do quick predicts today?
That kind of turns me on, actually.
So I think we got it.
All right, please stand by and remember, Quick Predicts comes back today. Normally the first time we do it, it's, you know, it's preseason for us too. It's normally epic failure, right? First time we do it, it's normally epic failure.
I don't know if it's epic failure, but it definitely moves a little slower. Epic failure means like we go, you know, 216, 474, 0092.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see. I'll keep reminding you. Tell your friends. 216-474-0092. Coming up at 1:50. So stand by. 1:50. Go eat lunch. Listen to us. Drive around in the car. Have fun. What else are we expecting tonight? What else do we want to see from the Browns tonight? There are some things I'm looking forward to. Like I Harold Fannin's playing tonight, right? Help me if I say someone who's not playing tonight. Gage Larvedan, I'm looking forward to seeing him at number 84. Just calling him Gage.
It's like Slade.
Luke Floria, the kid from Mentor and Kent State, 37. Keep your eye on him tonight. He should get significant time, I would hope. I hope these guys get time. Anybody else?
I want to see
Is Samson playing tonight?
Yeah, I believe he is.
Okay, Dylan Samson tonight. I'm looking forward to that.
I want to see how the first team Panthers defense looks against this offense and all of it. So like those first 2 to 3 drives, I'm locked in. And I want to see what the defense looks like going against Bryce Young and all that kind of stuff. And I know it'll be a bunch of the backups and, you know, we'll see. Keep it locked in right here. Probably around that, 5 o'clock area, 5:30 area. We'll know who's playing, who's not playing, the inactive list, all that kind of stuff. But I want to see what that kind of looks like because I want to see what the process looks like. I know it's going to be a super vanilla playbook. I want to see how much under center, bootleg, you know, all of that kind of stuff is back into this offense. That's the stuff I want to see.
But how much of this are they going to be able to run if you don't have your first teamers in there, your second teamers even?
I mean, you can still, I mean, see, you're asking, you can still them, see a skeleton, right?
Are we like, running a high school? We're running like some sort of high school offense then, right?
I think you can still see some kind of skeleton.
In 2 days, in a day.
Well, I mean, they've been working on this since minicamp, so there should be some semblance in there. I mean, these guys got handed the playbook at rookie minicamp. I assume they've opened it and looked at it at least once or twice, or opened the iPad, you know, and have seen it in there. And I assume there should be some semblance. Again, this isn't going to be like a finished product or anything like that, but there's at least going to be a skeleton, and I want to see what that skeleton looks like.
Coach is in Cleveland. Hi, Coach.
What's up, Coach?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing well, man. And yourself?
Hey. I'm pretty good. Listen, first off, you know, this narrative on Shedeur is so screwed up. I hate listening to everybody.
There you go. And I'll buy that.
I can, under- I can understand if there's some developmental work because he sat in a one-back, four-wide shotgun system all his life. Stefanski runs a lot of play action, roll out bootlegs because of the misdirection.
Yep.
He wants the cause.
Well, and you clearly know this, Coach. How long? I've always heard that Stefanski play calls are super long on top of that.
And you know what? I think there's a thing, I said it before, that one of my coaches used to always say to our head coach, his kiss. Like, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he literally outthinks himself. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Rotsky. Just outthinks himself. They're so brilliant that there's so much going on in their head.
Why are you taking a shot at Rotsky, man? We're talking about NFL here. Rotsky is your boy. All right, that's fine.
That's my boy.
As long as you're giving him love. I thought you were taking a shot at him.
That's my boy.
I'm not a big fan of taking shots at high school coaches on this show,
I wouldn't do that.
Okay, cool.
I was a high school coach. But the thing of it is, you know, Shador, when they talk about his development, I think it's not necessarily his technical development. His analytical development. I think it's technical. Whereas when you go from a shotgun to under the center, there's a lot of footwork involved in getting in the right positions to run what Stefanski runs, that bootleg, play sprint out. He runs that play action. That has to be coordinated. If that's not smooth, it's not going to work. But the bottom line is, for him to have the success tonight, if his offensive line ain't giving him no time, his running game isn't giving him anything, he's going to have problems because they're going to come. But if he has time, he's going to make throws because he is used to playing with the twos and the threes.
Right.
And the one thing you can't question, and you got to have this out your quarterback, is confidence, leadership, and that gun he got. You can't question that.
No.
I don't care who you are.
Well, I mean, but he's got to. You're saying he's got to have that confidence. I got to imagine it's not easy having that confidence.
He's got the confidence. That's been bred into him.
Okay.
He's got that.
At some point, he's still a young man, though, right, Coach? You got to give him a little time, though, don't you? I mean, I know you might say it's in his DNA, but. I mean, I'm sure anytime you handed the ball to a quarterback at any given time, and it was and you might think he might have been the best, most straightforward, best leader you've ever seen. I mean, there's still a little bit of nerves when you walk into that huddle for the first time with a new team, right? Come on, I don't care who he is, what his last name is.
He might have a little bit, okay. But he's been bred for this.
All right, I'll buy that.
You know, it's like, I mean, I've seen some phenomenal quarterbacks. High school and college, got to know him, got to work with him a little bit. And they all had that moxie. You know, he walked out there, I'm the baddest, like Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
When he walked on the field, I'm the baddest boy out here.
As a quarterback or?
As a quarterback.
Yeah. Were you at Heights or no?
Yeah. Heights. I coached running backs there when Travis was a senior.
There you go.
He had to stand next to me every day because if you didn't keep your eye on him, the kid was gone. He's in the linebacker drills. He's running routes. And I'm like, oh, my. They're like, get him out my trail. It was, you know, he was a phenomenal athlete even then. I mean, he was a quarterback, and we ran everything. And that kid was just.
No, I do. I remember watching. Right, hey, Coach, thank you. Thanks for giving back to the kids, too, years, too.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
And by the way, my calmness, I picked that up from Rotsky, how to be calm.
Okay.
All right, thanks. I've never seen a coach go crazier on the field or in practice than Rotsky. Like, insane. And this goes back to the first time I met him when he was at Chanel. Insane. He loves his kids. I will say that. And he turns programs around. And he's doing a great job at VASJ right now, too. So, do you agree with what he said, though?
I want to see it. You know, I want to see what this looks like. You know, sure, there's a lot of intangibles and all that kind of stuff, but like intangibles get you to a certain level. You need everything else that comes with it. You need the time, you need the effort, you need the understanding, you need the abilities that all go there. And that's what I want to see in this, because you're going to see Shador Sanders go up against ones and twos. Shador Sanders has seen ones and twos for the Cleveland Browns. He's not seen ones and twos for another group. Now, granted, again, it's vanilla defenses. It's all that kind of stuff that goes with it. But it's still a different uniform. And it's still veterans who can bait you. And it's still veterans who have some tricks up their sleeves and all of that kind of stuff that you probably didn't see when you were at Colorado. And not even just Colorado. I'd feel the same way about Dylan Gabriel in Oregon. Like, there are veterans who are out there who have some tricks up their sleeves that rookies don't see. I just want to see what this looks like. I want to see where he is. And if he comes out and he looks horrid and he throws two picks and the offense is a mess, then we're going to throw our hands up and go, eh, he's still developing. Okay, we'll see that in time. If he rolls out and he looks great, it'll go one of two ways that comes with it. One of them, everyone's going to scream and yell and say that he needs more reps, he needs more time, he needs all these different things.
Right.
And you'll get another group of people who will go, do you remember DTR? And both camps will be right. The camp that says he needs more reps is going to be right. And the camp that says, do you remember DTR, is going to be right. And so that's the thing with this. We're going to walk out of here maybe understanding where Shedeur Sanders is in the development process. Maybe. All I know is it's going to be must-see TV. It's going to be entertaining.
I'm just looking to see who. So who's not playing tonight? Pickett, Tillman, Jones.
I'm looking on offense?
Yeah, I was just looking to see. Well, no, I'm just looking to see. Is there an actual list that's out there that says who's not playing tonight?
No, you won't get that till inactives come out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I have a feeling that's going to read off quite long. I mean, it's the first preseason game, and we know how Kevin Stefanski treats these.
When you're carrying a four deep, you can do that, right? It's not like, you know.
It will be the second team offensive line. Sans Zach Center, who's hurt and didn't make the trip. It'll be the second team offensive line. It'll be the second and third team wide receivers. It'll be the second and third team running backs. And Shedeur Sanders
at the helm. Johnson, do you play him tonight? I wouldn't. I don't think he'd
probably
play
not.
I think you could frustrate. I'm not putting him. I want to see him get to the regular season.
You're not wrong. That's the reason why.
I'm like. You put a guy out there that possibly could be a first team wide receiver, and I'm not messing with that.
You're not wrong. That's the main part of this is.
Are we going to see Carson Schlessinger tonight?
With kid gloves, but like Deontay Johnson, I feel like we have to handle with kid gloves a little.
Are we going to see Mason Graham tonight?
No.
Well, these guys need to get on the field, man. I'm sorry.
I play all the rookies.
Carson Schlessinger, he's got to get on the field tonight, right?
I think so. I would play all the rookies personally just because I think more reps equals more opportunity, and especially going up against the first-team defense.
You got to let these guys put on their NFL uniform for the first time and run out on the field and go play a couple plays.
Yeah, I think so. At least as long as the first-team offense is in for Carolina, I would have those guys out there.
Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com. Coach Riz coming up next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You know, we play at the end of the show every day, why am I smarter? I got to tell you, every time we talk to Coach Riz, I am smarter. Oh, man. Lance Reisland is going to join us right now. He is on the Fan hotline, if I can get my computer to work. Ah, there we go. Hi, Lance. How are you?
What's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Happy game day.
Happy game day. I am so ready. And by the way, you know, you're nice enough to send us some stuff, and as we read it stuff, I got to tell you, you do make me smarter every time that I read your stuff. So I do appreciate you, and it was good to see you at camp last week, too. So.
Absolutely. Great giving you guys some information that maybe you don't see every day.
Oh, it's true. All right, so give the fans some information. By the way, you're going to be on our tailgate show, too, throughout the season. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
So what is the real story here with the quarterbacks? Like, if they were all healthy tonight, how do you think this thing would have shaken out? And, you know, what should we be expecting for Shedeur Sanders tonight?
Well, the first thing I think for the Browns as a whole, not just the quarterback situation, there has to be a sense of urgency. They're coming off a very poor year where expectations were high. So for me, as I always try to think of it through my dad's lens or a coach's lens in terms of you got to have a high sense of urgency, almost irritability, attention to detail. There has to be body language that says we weren't very good last year and we're going to try to be better. So the quarterback position, I think they've done a really, really good job. The thing that I feel after watching each and every day is they're trying to get all these guys up to speed in terms of what they should know, right? Because you can't play well unless you know the offense and know where everybody's supposed to be. And then things kind of go where they may. Now, the workload that they've given Shador as compared to Dylan hasn't been the same. Now, I think this is a great opportunity, and if Shador plays well tonight, it's because of how they've kind of scaffolded and built him up throughout camp. I thought they did a really good job of giving him throws that kind of get him in rhythm. Obviously, he has some bad habits. I think those bad habits come from backpedaling when he was at Oklahoma. But I think this is an opportunity. This is, you know, I've heard the narrative of, you know, being set up for failure. This is a great opportunity to work with the guys that he's worked with. And, you know, I think everybody's got, it's going to be too much either way, right? He's got a, that first series, couple series, he's going to see a one NFL defense. That's going to be an adjustment. What happens from there is kind of my thing. But I think this is a great opportunity. I think it worked out well for him. I thought he's had a really good camp. He seems like a really good teammate. I think it's going to be too much either way. Whatever happens tonight, got to kind of let it build. And I know that's what the coaches are thinking. Let's see what he does and then build off it.
All right, Lance, give me a couple things that Shador will do that you're going to have an eye on. Give us like a couple things that fans can look at that you typically wouldn't look at. You know, and we're all going to look completions, interceptions, touchdowns, all that kind of stuff. But like, give us a couple things, you know, maybe in the inner workings that you're going to be watching.
Well, you know, the thing I've noticed with him is obviously at, when he was at Colorado, he didn't have a lot of pass protection and he didn't have a run game. So he's in the gun a lot. And he had to rely on kind of finding time for himself, right? So that's where everybody's talking about that drifting. So the first thing I want to see is I want to see his footwork underneath center when he gets out from underneath center, both in play action and in the run game, whatever it be. How fluid does that look? How fluid does his ball handling look? Because that all affects your balance when you're throwing the ball. Where I've seen a lot of success for him, especially the last couple of days of camp, is when he's in empty, right? So that tells you he can process really well. He's really good when he processes the information and gets rid of the ball quickly. What you want to see tonight against really fast people is, can he make those decisions if the first read's not there? Because when the first read's there, he's fundamentally sound. He transfers his weight. He gets from his right side to his left side. He doesn't have an elite arm. He doesn't have that Josh Allen arm. So he's got to use that torque and use that whole body when he's throwing. So that would be kind of the thing. How does he adjust from the different launch points from underneath center in the gun? And then when things go bad, when you're getting hit, now you're getting hit. How does that affect your footwork? And because you kind of realize sometimes you go back to bad habits. We all do when things get kind of heated, right? When things get sped up, when the clock gets sped up. So just kind of his composure as the game goes along through the ups and the downs. And there'll be both, but he's got to kind of maintain his level of, you know, cognizance and what he's doing with the offense.
Explain Dylan Gabriel to me and what is going on with him, because I've heard some like nasty things about him over the last week, and I'm wondering, would it be as nasty if we knew who the number one quarterback is? Would it be as nasty if they didn't draft two quarterbacks? Are they trying just to overload him, or is he really struggling trying to learn a little bit?
Well, I don't think he's, you know, it's funny, it's a product-based, you know, I'm a process guy, right? So when right. I watch him at practice, I see him setting pass protections. I see smooth footwork. I see all the things leading up to the throw that have been very, very good from Dylan since the start of camp, since the summer. I've watched all the throws all summer, too. However, his last 3 or 4 days, his accuracy was real off. Now, when your accuracy is real off for Dylan, it's because of his height. Sometimes it's height, but sometimes it's, you know, he's played with big tackles at Oklahoma and Oregon. It's not like he's now with 6'5 guys. He's played with this his whole career. So some of those things are warranted because of his height. He has, you can see through the, you know, standing on the sideline, seeing some of the lanes he throws through. But the praise and the criticism of both these guys have been way overboard. He's done a lot of really good things. However, there have been people who basically base it on the product. And that's really, unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. You got to complete passes. You got to win games. And those last 3 or 4 days, he was not very accurate. But I saw a thing, to be accurate, you have to understand protection. You have to have good footwork. You have to have good fundamentals. So will that carry over once live action happens? That's the next step. But yeah, he has been good with everything he's done. Last 3 or 4 days, accuracy was a real struggle for him.
Lance Rise on Cleveland.com and a plane dealer joining us on the North Homestead Crisis. Joining us on the fan hotline. Lance, does the hamstring have anything to do with some of that inaccuracy as well? Would you think some of those mechanics are coming back to the fact that he's got that yanked hammy? Because I'm also wondering on the Kenny Pickett side of things, that stuff may look a little shaky because of those hammies.
Well, you know, maybe a little bit when they drive the ball, you know, coming off that back foot, depending on what leg it is. You know, the groin is more in the drops. That would be more the issue for a quarterback. But anytime you're trying to drive the football, and both he and Pickett are guys that need, they're not arm talent guys where they're throwing off platform. That's all the rage, right? We're going to throw off platform. We're going to throw from different launch points. There's a certain time in football, too, you have to throw with really good fundamentals and use that lower half. And anytime you're using that lower half, your hamstrings are going to be involved. Now, depending on if it's his dry foot or, you know, his back foot, whatever it may be, I'm sure it's affecting him a little bit. But more importantly, at that level, if you're thinking at all, your feet aren't moving. And the minute that happens in the NFL, it's just like with Shador when he drops back a little bit, when he drifts a little bit. Well, his weight's back, that's a millisecond. In the NFL, that's a pick, right? So I just think it all that stuff on his mind, anytime you're not just reacting in the game of football, especially at that level, bad things can happen. So I do think it has a little bit of effect, but more probably just to make sure that he can last the duration of camp, in my opinion.
Outside of the quarterbacks, what are you most looking forward to seeing tonight?
Well, I want to see, you know, for me, I have a couple things. One is I want to see that receiver spot, right? Obviously, you got the top guys, but guys like Floria, Caden Davis, Gage Larvadan, these guys, Jamari Thrash, who I think is already in, but these guys have had really good camps, and they provide things that the Browns haven't had in the slot receiver. So I'm really excited for those young receivers. I want to see the defensive line depth. This guy named Ralph Holly, everybody knows the starters, but Holly and Juwan Briggs, these guys who can be the next guys in this deep defensive line. And then we got to, you know, I think the Browns really got to figure out what they're doing at that one high safety, right? Is it going to be Hickman? Now that Emerson's out, Hickman's been down in the box a little bit. I know that's where Delpit would be. So who's going to be that one high safety who has to create some turnovers? Is it Kazee? Is it Hickman? Is it Jenkins, who they just brought in? So just some of those depth issues. And for me, it's more about not position. It's a sense of urgency and having body language that shows you weren't very good last year, and that's not acceptable. Because without expectations, you kind of get complacent, in my opinion. So the expectations for these guys should be very high tonight to play at a very high, irritated level, in my opinion.
Would you play Mason Graham and Carson Schlesinger tonight?
I would. Yeah, I think it's always, my dad always taught me you can be physical without being silly, right? So I think if you get out there, you can get hurt in anything you do. I think some of the injuries that happen in football are when you're going half speed and some guys don't go half speed and some guys go full speed and you get an ankle, you get a twist. I think if you got them out there a series of two, I think it's important, especially if the Panthers are going to play their ones, I think it's important that you get that game seed with no scripts, right? Because anything you're doing in practice, it's scripted and they know what run is coming and they know how they should react and coaches are watching on how they should react. I think it's always important to, you know, put the ball down, play a couple plays. Doesn't mean you have to be out there, you know, 20 snaps. Maybe you get, you know, 5 to 10 snaps just to kind of get yourself up to game speed, which allows you not to get off the slow starts in seasons and games, in my opinion.
Hmm. I'm looking forward to Harold Fannin Jr. He should play tonight, right? I can't imagine he's not playing. I'm looking forward to watching him play. How good is this kid?
Well, he's really good. So I think 12 personnel with Tillman, if he can be healthy, and obviously Jerry Jeudy, who seems like he had a great joint practice down in Carolina as well, that 12 personnel could be really, really good. If he can block, his receiver skill set is elite, and he's a problem in the red zone if you put a corner on him. He's a problem in line with linebackers and tight ends. If they go 12 personnel, they can split teams out and find matchups, where I think Kevin Stefanski does a wonderful job of. If he can isolate and kind of have like a little bit of a fullback mentality, a little bit of a tight end mentality, where if teams try to play nickel and get linebackers out and they can run the ball, that gives them their best set, I think, because he's a super talented receiver. If he can be physical in the run game, that 12 personnel will be the Browns' best set this year, I think.
How hard is it for Tyler Huntley to come in and execute after only being here for, what, 72 hours?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So everybody says he's been here, right? And the thing is, in football, there's only so much you can do, right? So with the Browns, they have some basic packages just like everybody does. So you're going to see things like three-step drops, hitches, slants, fades, right? Easy concepts to the outside, kind of take away the middle where you have to do all that reading, especially if you haven't had reps. They're also going to run that ball, and they're going to run the boot, which means they're going to run play action. There's going to be a guy high, a guy in the middle, and a guy low. It's the same read versus every single coverage. You just have to adjust where you're going with the ball depending on where coverage is. So they're going to, some of these basic concepts, everybody runs in the NFL. So for him, it's different because of timing and who receivers he hasn't had a lot of work with, but the plays he'll be okay because they'll keep it very simple for him. It'll be simple three and five step drops, ins and outs, couple levels concepts, but it'll be very basic for him and a lot of run game, you would assume, when he's in the game.
You talked about the wide receivers for another second. Is it a dogfight for guys like Floria and Larvadan to make the practice squad or to actually be on the roster, especially if they keep four quarterbacks? I think it's, you were talking about practice squad, right?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, being a Mentor kid, being a Kent State kid, you know, you think it's a feel-good story. Floria has not been a feel-good story. Floria can really play. So can this Gage Larvidan. They can both. Now, the thing about Larvidan, he's played inside and outside. He's been uncomfortable all camp. But he can play. I think his versatility will help him. I think the big thing for those guys making the team tonight is, where are they on special teams? Yeah. Are they able to return punts? Can they cover punts? Because they give Browns a little bit different. If they're going to go in 11 personnel, obviously Deontay Johnson's there, but it gives them a little different slot, right? Flory is a true slot that can get you the second four, which should help the quarterback not being passing situations. Larvidan, I've been really, really impressed with his ability to be inside and outside. You know, obviously, I think Thrash is there, so you're absolutely right about the fourth quarterback. But these are guys who have played all camp and have produced against everybody. It hasn't just been against the twos and threes. They've produced against everybody. I'm interested to see, again, put the ball down, see these guys play, and then you can start to get a real evaluation when live action happens.
Do you really believe they're going to keep four active quarterbacks going into the regular season? I think in the back of your mind, if you're a general manager, you're probably going, okay, let's just assume there's going to be attrition, or one of these guys is probably going to be hurt. I can't see that any other way, especially when you talk about these sixth, seventh wide receivers or extra bodies, you know, in the defensive backfield. Holding three guys onto a roster that can't play on Sunday just does not make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So I will say this, just from this watching practice, I think what they're doing is, I think they're giving them a fair chance, even though people don't believe that. They are really doing a good job of making sure that they can get an evaluation the best they can with four quarterbacks. And obviously that's tough to do, but I think they've done a good job of splitting fields. I think they've done a good job of making sure at the end of practice, both Gabriel and Sanders go through the same script that Flacco and Pickett went through earlier in the day. They do that at the end of practice almost every day. So they've done a good job. Now you got to go out and play. And I think, you know, the thing that is lost in a lot of this stuff is, competition is not a bad thing. I don't think they keep four. I think they keep the best three. And whoever that is, because I still think winning is the most important thing. Development, if you worry about too much about development, you're developing for another coach, right? So
yeah.
I think winning's got to be the priority, and you take the best guy. And if a guy, you know, if Stefanski's bosses say, we want this guy, okay. But until then, Stefanski should be saying, I'm playing the best guys, the guys that give me a chance to win, because losing's not acceptable. Everybody says, you just have a bye year. It won't be that way if they're off to a bad start. You got to win. So for me, I don't think they keep four, but we'll see. But they got to win, and they got to prove to all those veterans that winning is the most important thing. And I think you keep the top three guys. Fourth guy goes to practice squad. If he gets picked up, he gets picked up. That's part of the business, right? So
yep.
I'm with you on that.
Well, well said, my friend. Hey, enjoy the game tonight. We're looking forward to having you on the tailgate show and throughout the season as well. Thanks.
Appreciate it, man. Talk soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you'll hear him tonight on the postgame show for the Browns as they take on Carolina right here on 92.3 The Fan. 216-474-0092 is the number to get in during the day. I'll be back a little bit later this afternoon. I don't even think I'm going to go home. I'll just stay downtown here for a little bit, and then I'll be on the network pregame show as we get you set for kickoff tonight, which is on the Browns Radio Network, which you'll hear here on 92.3 The Fan. So I'll be over on our sister station, NCX, there before the game.
Get you with an evening ahead of you.
I know. I'm just trying to see. Maybe I can go over to Q and do a show over there real quick.
Do that real quick. Yes.
Yeah. And then
break it down. Latest Taylor Swift rumors, all that kind of good stuff.
Oh, man. What do you think of them buying a house here? If that's going to happen or not?
Good for them. You may as well. It's a great place to live, as we know.
Yeah. And you know what? No one's going to bug. Do you really think anyone's going to bug her here? Or him? He doesn't.
There's a lot of nuts all over the place.
I'm going to tell you. Weird. But so, last time I saw Travis, he was here when the Chiefs were here. But before that, I was at a funeral for a good friend. And, like, it was just weird. Like, you got to help me out. I understand. Big deal. So he was at, so Jason and Travis were both at this for Steve Bogus, rest his soul, former Mayfield hockey coach, Cleveland Heights guy. But, like, people are walking up and taking pictures, trying to ask those guys for pictures
at
the funeral home.
You don't do pictures at a funeral home. That's weird.
It was a wake, you know? It was just
That feels like a pretty.
Maybe if you're outside and they're walking back to their car and you're like, hey, I'm sorry to bug you, but I want to. I cannot tell you how cool both of those guys were about it, too. I mean, they were just like, hey, yeah, hey, sure, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just so weird. Now, Stevie's probably laughing, you know what, off in heaven on this thing. But, you know, look at all these people. I can just see him saying that. But I just isn't that weird?
It's not something that I would do at a, it's just not the place to do it at a funeral.
No.
Like there's a lot, or a funeral home even, funeral home, all of that stuff. Like I feel like there's a lot of places that are better to do such things than as you're mourning the death of someone and their family is standing around them heartbroken and you're over here going, hey, can I get a picture?
I just think it's weird, don't you? Like, I don't care. I don't know.
Have a little decorum.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying, like, you know, all of these things should be stuffy. Like, hey, I love the evolution really cool, of, like, you know.
You know, like, well, how do you explain that to people, too? You're like, wow, you had both the Kelce brothers. They were in the same place at the same time, and you guys took that picture. That's awesome. Where were you guys? Wake. Seriously? Yeah, we were at a wake.
Wake. Yep.
And the problem is, all it takes is one person, right?
Caught him right before the priest walked up and started leading us and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, just I cannot tell you how much credit I gave those guys that night. On top of just, you know, just being regular guys, but man, I just like, so like I also wonder if, you know, if they move here, like why wouldn't you? You'd be, I mean, there's plenty of places on the east side where you can be. No one will ever know you're there. Plenty of places on the west side. No one will ever know you're there.
It's kind of like how everybody was making that move to Montana for a while for that reason.
I was
that
there.
You could just blend in.
So a lot of them, when I was living there, we had a lot of people that were moving in. And like yeah. I remember I sat down at dinner one night, and I looked next to me, and Hank Williams Jr. sitting next to me. Oh, and I was cool. Just like, that was a ding, too, probably.
Oh, but I'm aware.
I just want to make sure.
I need more hands, Andy. I need ding. More hands.
Okay, thank you. And so, you know, I was just like, oh, hey, cool, Hank Williams Jr. And just eat. Like, it's not, I don't know. I think sometimes we make... pretend that people are bigger than life. They're not. They really aren't. Sorry, hate to break it to you. I mean, I love Travis, love Jason, but they're just seriously two really big guys from Cleveland Heights. That's all they are. And I'm sure, you know, maybe it's blasphemy to say that Taylor Swift's probably a real person, but she is. I hate to say it. And she goes to the bathroom every once in a while, too. Yep, sorry. Right
now, once again, we're back in the bathroom.
Well, I think it's the great human equalizer, isn't it?
This whole show has been us just avoiding being in the bathroom.
And by the way, when we come into the world, we don't have any clothes on. No, there's another one for you. Shocker. And do we really...
in the bathroom, back in the bathroom.
And do we really want to talk about how 99.9% of us got here? Okay, right?
So anyway, how about them Brownies?
Before I get
brownies,
in trouble,
huh?
right? How about those Browns?
About
they play
brownies?
Tonight. Did Lance say anything that like kind of knocked your socks off?
I liked what he did breaking down. This is what you need to look at to determine how developed Shedeur Sanders is. And the idea that you're going to see some of the stuff that he ran in high school or college, I should say, sorry, so that he could get more comfortable. I liked hearing that out of coach. That stood out to me. That's like, okay.
Is that not putting him in a position to succeed?
I mean, yes. Yeah. They'll get him some easy throws early. They'll probably rely on the run game a little bit. I look at this whole thing as being nothing but an opportunity for a quarterback to show either A, I'm developing well, I'm coming along at a proper pace, or I'm exceeding expectations, or B, I need a little bit more time. Like, I don't see anything that is going to take place in this game that is going to make anyone go, he's a bust, get him out. And if you are walking around saying, he's a bust, get him out, you probably need to realize that there's more to life than hot takes and that maybe a little nuance can only help you. Like, because you're going to get that. I borderline wonder if Browns fans need to just take their phones and delete social media off of all of their apps and only have their friends text them during the game, and that's it. Because I wonder if that would clear up some of the air and some of the nonsense that's taking place out there is to just completely get rid of the outside noise of anybody else besides the football minds you trust.
And that's who.
Everybody's
you know what I'm
different.
Saying? I just.
But everybody's different. Like
do me a favor.
Stephen A. yelling and screaming.
Flash forward to Monday. What's this place going to be like?
I have a feeling we are going to flip on the microphones and go, well, that happened. There were some points that looked okay that you could clearly build upon, and he looked overwhelmed in the very beginning of the game, but it looked better as the game went on. And I think that's the conversation you and I are going to be having. I think there will be some people who will come on and go, yeah, but look how good he looked in the second half, and look how good he looked toward snaps 25 to 50, focus in on those. And I think there's another point that's like, he needs time. He needs time. And I think there will be a small chunk that are going to try to get a rise out of everybody else by screaming and yelling, get him off, cut him, trade him for a sack of footballs.
I think it's going to be more the other. I think people are going to be like, well, I don't understand why he's not starting. It doesn't matter what he does. Because they're going to say, you know, I saw some good things. No matter what you see, oh, I saw some good things out there. Can you imagine what he's going to look like with the first team offense? Can you imagine what he'll look like with, you know, first team wide receivers, first team running back, first team tight ends? I mean, I just, come on, man. We saw, you know, I saw success out there. You might have saw him get sacked, but I saw success.
I wonder if DTR taught us all something. Like, I partially wonder if maybe the DTR experience kind of taught everybody that, like, okay, maybe we should take everything that takes place in these games with a grain of salt. I do. And
yes,
I know that.
Yes, we should. We should take everything you see. Again, they're trying to get work in.
Correct.
That like, no one ever wants to think about that. That if they, you know, if they have a bad play call on third down tonight, it's because they're trying to see if something works.
Well, so have you seen the Discord floating around about Anthony Richardson, that sack that he took?
Go ahead.
So there's this whole Discord that's coming with it. For those of you who missed it, Anthony Richardson, it was a four-man rush.
Yep.
Clearly, the rusher got missed off the outside, and mm-hmm. he got pummeled into the dirt. And it's the play that he dislocated his pinky on.
Okay.
And there has been this whole discourse that has come off of it of, oh, they missed the block, they did this. Then you've got former quarterbacks and coaches and all that stuff on Twitter going, nah, that's actually on the quarterback himself by not pointing and realizing that the rush was coming and that he was hot and moving the production and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always going to run into those type of situations, and I bet Shador will have one or two of those moments in this game. And I just think everybody needs to pump the brakes on everything and realize that everybody is working on stuff in the same way that we've realized it in spring training with pitchers, where a pitcher gets lit up in spring training and nobody freaks out because they're like, well, for all we know, they walked out there and only threw fastballs. I think this might go the same direction, that everybody just needs to pump the brakes and realize that, hey, maybe Kevin Stefanski only called the first three pages of the playbook because that's what needed to be worked on and that's what Shador was most comfortable with in that time. I just think we all need to remember DTR. Just remember DTR. It was a lot of fun. He made the tail end of those preseason games an absolute blast. And when he came in against first team offenses, it all went to squat. Just remember DTR.
I can't argue that. And again, I also can't forget about the electricity that was in the stadium for the Ravens game. And
right.
I was standing out there just kind of, I don't know, top of the dog pound off on the south side. There's a bridge right there as you head back into the, like, the main section on the south side. And I, like, people were like, DTR.
Oh, yeah.
DTR. And I was like, wow. And people were so excited for him. They were so pumped. And then the Ravens came in and just pummeled the Browns.
And then it just all went south in a hurry, and he looked lost and overwhelmed and everything else. I just think we all need to remember DTR. And when we come in here on Monday, we will all have forgotten that message and need to be reminded once again of DTR.
All right, it is a game day, so we will do quick predicts coming up at 1:40. Quick predicts, you'll tell us the score of tonight's game against the Panthers and what Monday morning's headline is going to be. That'll be at 1:40, so stand by. We got a little ways off on that. When we do come back, though, we're going to talk to... O'clock tonight, it's the Browns at the Panthers. And you know, if you're listening to the game, you're listening to 92.3 The Fan on the Browns Radio Network right here. If you happen to have your eyeballs on the game, then the voice you know you'll be hearing is a super friend of this show, the pride of Shaker Heights and University School. And you know him from, oh, I don't know, NFL Network, John Boy Media, you name it, game shows galore. He is the man, the myth, the legend. He is Chris Rose, and I'm looking forward to his coverage tonight on the Browns preseason television network. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Hello, gentlemen.
It was my 45-minute introduction to you, my friend.
Oh, this is too long. Too long. Let's cut it down.
All right, we'll go 44 minutes next time. Sounds good. My friend, I got to tell you, a lot of times I'm not looking forward to watching preseason games. This is a game I am looking forward to seeing tonight. How are you feeling about it, my friend?
Yeah, I think you can get in line on that one, Andy. You know, it's so interesting because I can never remember a prospect that has been at the forefront of conversation for 6 months straight, right? I mean, yeah. Going into the draft, it was, how high is he going to go? Is he top five? Is he 10? Like, are the Steelers going to get him later in the first round? And then right around the draft, it went to, oh, man, he might not be in the first. No, he can't be in the first round. And then the Giants trade back into the first round. It's got to be for Shador, and it's Jackson Dart. And then we get the first. Like, it all started with that. And then it gets to this and what is has become, in part because the Browns drafted two quarterbacks in a three-round span. And so you're not just comparing Shador to the rest of the quarterback situation and an organization that's been searching for a quarterback for the better part of three-plus decades. But now you have a direct comparison, right? Guys who had been at multiple schools, who had both been successful in college, who put up gaudy stats, who played on our TVs every Saturday. Like, it really is incredible how this has gone.
How would you define this start as a success for Shador?
I think looking like he belongs and feeling like the game is not too big for him. Now, some people will say, hold on. I mean, for God's sakes, he is a star, which is true. He's been at the forefront of our brains ever since he got to college and, you know, built winning programs with his father and with the help of several other big name players. I don't want to boil it down to, you know, making it so simple, but yeah, he just has to look like he belongs. There's been a lot of times where guys get to this stage, having even played well in college, and it's a different game. It is just a different game. So, you know, you hope that he's able to slow it down, that whatever checks they do have, that he nails those. And you want it to look like a fluid offense instead of a 16-year-old getting and driving a stick shift for the first time ever, if they still have those.
True. I think they do, don't they? I think there's got to be some old ones out there.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. My buddy made his daughter learn how to drive sticks to the net where he could guarantee that no other kid would drive her car.
Oh, that's a great idea. Well, that's good parenting right there. Who's he going to be able to throw to tonight? And what wide receivers are you looking forward to watching? I know there's a kid from Mentor that we all kind of like around here, and I think a lot of people are rooting for.
Yeah, Luke Flory, why not? Let's go. Go
why
get it.
Not? Yes.
He's reportedly had a very, very good camp. Talked to a few coaches who said keep your eyeballs on him. You know, Gage Larvadan is another one, another smallish receiver that – you know, he played at multiple schools, including Miami University for a quick pit stop and then finished at South Carolina. He's number 84. You'll want to watch him. I think you'll see some Deontay Johnson. So for, you know, all the people, and Andy, I saw your clip out there, I believe, about the sabotaging. I mean, it is the most ridiculous of all the things I've heard. And I will give people leeway, because I do think that it can be a little bit confusing when you've been a Browns fan and the quarterback situation. There's been some highs and a lot of lows, and so we're all searching for the right answer. But out of all of the things I have heard, and including from some people that might appear inside of the rectangle on your wall,
yes,
that the team is doing a disservice to him. Folks, he is a fifth-round quarterback, whether you like it or not, and so this is just what comes with the territory in preseason. Some teams start their starters for a series or two, like the Panthers are expected to do tonight. They're not going to play the whole game.
Right.
They're going to play a drive or two, and then they're going to put in their backups. And, you know, so maybe Shador struggles for the first drive or two, and then he plays better. You know, I mean, the Browns aren't rooting for this kid to do poorly. They want him to do well. They really do. Now, you can have arguments or discussions or whatever you want as to how they've handled it so far and what their reasons are for divvying up the reps the way that they have. But as far as tonight goes, for God's sakes, you know what? He's got an opportunity. Go run with it. Do the best you can. And we'll talk about it afterwards.
Now I'm worried about what rant is out there. I don't even know. Were we on the same page then for that? Because that sounds pretty close. I just go play. Go play.
Just go, right.
Yeah.
And he sees it. We talked to him yesterday. That's what he's saying. He's like, yeah, I'm excited to go play. Go. I want to go play football. You know, he's been famous for a long time. And he's had the Sanders last name his entire life, I do believe. I'll double check that before the broadcast tonight.
Good call.
Thanks.
Even if you're not, don't let the facts get in the way. We're not doing news anymore. We're having fun.
So, you know, at the end of the day, when they snap it, it's football. And nobody's going to hit him harder because he's Deion Sanders' kid or all that stuff. Those guys want to try and make an impression for their coaches, too. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds.
I'm glad you're saying it, Chris, because it's exactly how I've been feeling through this whole thing. You get the narrative out there that it's a lose-lose. It's like, forget that nonsense. This is a win-win for him. If he shows up and throws well, then, hey, we're having a different conversation at camp. If he plays poorly, we throw our hands up in the air and go, hey, fifth-round developmental quarterback. He just needs more time.
Right. I think what it comes down to, guys, are how do you view him? Would anybody, even the most ardent supporter of Shedeur Sanders, and I'm rooting for him, because he plays for the team I love. I want to see him do well. I want to see him put pressure on the team. But also, he might not be ready to start week one. It is hard to do that in this league. And just because he played well in Colorado doesn't mean that he's necessarily ready for the NFL game week one. So what is the matter with bringing quarterbacks along slowly? Now, do I think we'll see him on the field at some point this year? I think it's possible. Do I think we'll see Dylan Gabriel on the field at some point this year? I think there's a better chance of that. I don't know for a fact. Nobody's told me that, but I think so. And will they have an assessment in time for the 2026 draft when they have two first-round picks? I sure hope so.
Chris, I'm just curious your take on starters playing in these games and not, because we see some teams do it, some teams don't. You know, Kevin's not a big fan of it. Joe Burrow did play. We saw what happened in Indianapolis. I was just like, what's your thoughts on starters getting time in these preseason games?
Well, I understand why Cincinnati did it. You know, under Zach Taylor, they are 1-11 in the first two games of a season. So they had to shake something up. And when Joe Burrow says he wants to play, I mean, you go play. I mean, let him go do it. But I do think a lot of these joint practices have kind of changed where coaches are. Kevin made a point of saying that, you know, our first team guys got a lot of work with Carolina. And this is before the first preseason game. So, you know, he didn't want to subject them to a lot of hitting on Wednesday and then again on Friday. He just didn't want to do it, in part because then they've got two heavy practices next week against the Eagles before another preseason game on Saturday. So they're all doing it just to figure out how their teams can best be ready for week one. You know, for the first 5 years of the Kevin Stefanski era, they did not tackle in training camp. Well, last year. We all know what happened. And he changed things up. I mean, you have to change things up to fit your franchise with what's best. Sean McVay never plays his guys. He barely plays his second stringers, if any. You'll see third stringers in that third game against the Browns in week three of the preseason. So, and his team, like last year, they got out of the gate slow. They started 1-4. They finished as the only team that could give the Philadelphia Eagles a run for their money in the playoffs. So everybody's different. That stuff doesn't bother me.
Chris Rose joining us on the Fan Hotline. You'll hear him on the TV broadcast today. Chris, let's go to your other job, which, of course, is Baseball Today on John Boy Media, and, of course, the bullpen discussions, or dugout discussions as well. You can catch the podcast as well. Guards are on a hot streak right now. It's really nice to see. Only six games back of the Detroit Tigers at this point. Do you think the Central was within reaching distance, or is that such a pipe dream that we should forget it?
Well, I wouldn't forget it, but I think it's still a long journey. We do have two more series with them, but it's not until the last 2 weeks of the year. So, listen, if they're four or five games back, you know, let's say they're three or four games at that point, then it could get really interesting. But I do think that they're a part of this wild card, and I will be the first to admit I'm shocked. I am shocked. I actually visited with them in the middle of that 10-game losing streak. I got them the day after Ortiz got put on whatever list he's on. And I think they were pretty shaken, and they were in the middle of not playing well, and I thought it was going to go sideways in a hurry. And then I was actually doing baseball today when the Class A news broke, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe this was going on. And I know that people, for whatever, you know, people have their issues with Stephen Vogt, whether it's managing the bullpen or not giving Kyle Manzardo enough at bats. I understand that. I do think some of that comes from the front office. That's just my feeling. I don't know that for a fact. But why aren't people giving him credit for keeping this team on the straight and narrow when it could have gone sideways in a hurry? I mean, isn't that the number one job of a manager in baseball, is to manage the people that you have? I'll answer the question since I work in it. Yes, that is the number one job right now. Mm. Nobody likes their managerial pitching changes. They never have. And the Manzardo thing, I have to honestly believe that's an organizational thing. I can't believe it's just him. But when we're talking about the ability to right a ship, make sure it doesn't go sideways, and get his team back into playoff contention, I mean, don't accept that as nothing, because that's something.
My friend, I am excited for you tonight. I have questions from your family, and I'm supposed to ask you something about why do chia seeds have such a high caloric content? Should I ask you that or not? Enough?
Enough.
I mean, your family's all over me when we do these interviews. I just want you to know that.
I know, but that's your fault for answering them.
I know, but it kind of makes me feel like I'm a part of the family. Not going to lie.
Yeah, but yeah, well.
I feel like I want to ask you, like.
This is one family you do not want to be a part of, but I can tell you that.
It's got a real don't feed the animals feel to
it. Is it more of the roses, or is it just dysfunctional roses?
No, we're great. We're great. We've got good. My family is wonderful. They're good, good people. We do have to put one of my brothers in timeout occasionally.
Yes.
For his ridiculous sports takes. I don't have to call him out on the radio, but he knows exactly who he is.
I want one Thanksgiving dinner. That's it. I just want to hang out. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to kind of sit there and watch.
I would like one Thanksgiving dinner. We have not had dinner together as a family, Thanksgiving fan.
The sports world gets in the way.
For decades. Yeah. For decades. It's just, you know, it happens.
All right, one of the high holies. I'll hang out with you guys, and we'll just shoot the breeze. It'll be great. Goodbye, my friend. We're listening to you tonight. Every word, we're going to critique you on Monday, just so you know.
Thanks, man.
Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and tonight's game. He'll recap that while featuring the best highlights from the coaches and players during the media availability, as well as on-the-field action. All you need to do is subscribe to 92.3 The Fan channel. That's the 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube. Do it now and get all of the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the season. Jeff is off today, but he will be back with you tonight on the Browns Radio Network. You'll hear him at halftime, and of course you'll hear him after the game on the postgame show, where I think he is the calmest man in America. Dan, you do these shows with him. Sometimes I listen to him do that show, and I'm amazed at how he is the rock during those shows, especially when some fans are just like out of their mind after games. And by the way, tonight I think fans will be a little bit out of their mind no matter what Sanders does. That's the key. He is so in the middle on things that it's just a big tug of war, and you are going to like him, love him, and defend him to your heart's desire, or you're going to be like, this guy isn't ready, he's a fifth-round pick, and you'll be negative on the other side.
It is one of the funniest things to watch, as Jeff will put a collar on And then you'll see him kind of cross his fingers and he'll sit there and listen. And someone will start barking at him and yelling at him like he had the play sheet and the earpiece and start screaming and yelling, at which point Tyvus will fall over laughing and probably be hitting the table very hard as he's screaming, laughing. And Jeff will sit there with a straight face through the whole thing, let the guy get all of it off of his chest, rant, rave, everything else, and then go, okay, thank you. Tyvus, do you have any thoughts? And that's how he'll deliver it.
Yeah, I Tyvus does a great job. Tyvus is great on the pre.
Tyvus does a really good job when he that goes,
and on the post. And can I'm like, I feel like letting everybody in on the joke to make sure everybody knows. I don't know. Everyone knows that, like, excuse me, Dick in Dayton is a regular caller, right? He's been a regular caller in Northeast Ohio for decades, right? Yes. And for some reason, he can't say Tyvus's name. And he calls him Titus on the air every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. And so it's just kind of one of those things. So when Tyvus even, like, I'm sure when we do pre today, I'll call him Titus just for the fun of it.
Of course, you got to get one in.
So it's just funny. But those guys together do a great job on the postgame show. And,
Yeah, you'll hear right from Kevin Stefanski. You'll hear other press conferences along the way and direct from the locker room. So keep it locked in right here, 92 through the fan for your postgame show.
Let's take a quick phone call. And then I want to.
Please don't curse at us when you call in and yell. Yeah. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Please, there will be no cursing.
Quick predicts coming up at 140. Quick predicts coming up at 140. Same rules, obviously, is what he's talking about. 216-474. Give us the score of tonight's game and then give us the headline for tomorrow morning. Bill is on the other side of the enemy lines. He's in Pittsburgh, but that's okay. We want to talk to him anyway. Hi, Bill. How are you?
How are you, Bill?
Good. How you doing?
What's a good word, my friend?
And yes, I do live on the enemy side. I hear it every day. But everybody's talking about Shedeur Sanders, but no one's mentioning like Mason Graham or what he's going to do. I'm more interested in him as well.
I agree. I think that's a great storyline. The reason that everyone's talking about the Shedeur is because Mason doesn't touch the ball on every play. That's why. I mean, really, that's – and all the hype is on him. But I want to see what Mason – I also want to look what Carson Schlesinger looks like tonight. I mean, this is a rookie that has, like, taken over the defense. Grant Delpit said that he wouldn't mind wearing the green dot to call the plays. How often does a guy – who's a rookie, step in there, that they give him the play-calling ability on defense right away. And, he's right in the middle. It doesn't happen very often.
No, I agree. I mean, again, Shedeur, I hope he succeeds. But, man, I just really want to see the defense, the rookies on defense do as well. I mean, they're a big part of the whole thing, too. So,
especially if you're going to be starting two of them, right?
I'm with you, Bill, and especially right in the spine of that defense on top of it.
I'm really excited for Malik Collins, too. You know, he was with us. There's no way he's playing tonight. No way, Malik.
No, he's a veteran.
So we'll see the rookies. All right, Bill, enjoy the game. And if you need us to get you supplies or anything to infiltrate the rest of the Steelers that are Steeler fans that are around you, we'll help you out. Just give us the signal. We'll help you out. Okay.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill in Pittsburgh.
So I'm here for Mason Graham too. I want to see it. I have not hidden my my fandom of that dude from the very beginning. That guy. And I want to see what he looks like. I think this might be a little bit tougher going up against the ones and his first ability of it. When he was in college at Michigan, man, that guy was a game plan wrecker. That dude would take anything you wanted to do to try to slow down his defense, and he would just trash it. And I want to see if he's able to replicate that in the NFL. Because if you can get that pressure right directly in the face of a quarterback, buckle in, because that'll do him in more than the left side or the right side.
All right, I don't care who's playing tonight. I need to have a little bit more of a game day feel. Like I need to get amped a little bit more.
So you're ordering nachos.
No, Anthony, are you back there? I just want to make sure. But Anthony's back in the bullpen. I just want to make
sure.
He's alive. Okay, you know what? Hey, two keys in a locker. Are you prepared to do that? That is a tradition.
So
unlike not, every other one.
So not nachos.
No, not nachos. Not Damn. Nachos at all. But Anthony, would you be prepared to do two keys in a lock? I know you are, but I want to make sure you are.
Well, I feel like one of the locks has to be nachos.
No. There's a thing here. Oh. Do you know the game here? Do you know how to play two keys in a lock?
I think so, yeah.
All right, here we go.
This it's very is two, complicated. Let's it's do got a two lot of keys. Rules.
It's very easy. Yes, go.
All right, my first.
No. Hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, the rookie Anthony Lau will be with us in just a second. He is Dan Menigan. I'm Andy Baskin. We prepare for tonight's game against the Panthers in a little thing we like to call two keys and a lock. Let's get a lock from Anthony Hillett, the rookie on staff today. One of our five rookies that might be starting for the Browns this year. Yes, Anthony, give me key number one.
Key number one is run the offense efficiently. That means no procedural penalties and nothing that's going to put you behind the sticks early on first downs.
You're cut. I'm putting you on the practice squad because I had for key number one, Sanders and the offense must just look efficient. That is the key. Look efficient. And if you triple down on this, then we're ending this segment forever. Dan Menigan.
I wrote functional.
Functional.
I want to see an offense where everybody runs the same play at the same time. Like, I know we are talking baseline football here, but from what we have heard all around, Kevin Stefanski offenses are long-winded. They've got a lot of pieces to them. The play calls are quite long-winded on top of that. You are dealing with backups and rookies the whole way around. I just want to see a functional offense.
Can we all agree, the three of us, that the bar is so low for this thing that there really isn't even a bar? Anthony, listen, we're just talking efficient, functional. That is a very, very low bar.
I would agree.
He concurs.
And by the way, I have no problem with that being the case because it's a fifth-round rookie. And you have all the veterans sitting. So, like, yeah, you got guys who are new to this. It's going to be a little hairy.
Key number two, Anthony Alon.
Key number two is to start to figure out where your wide receivers are after Jerry Jeudy.
Fair. Who are you looking to give us some hope, my friend?
Well, I feel like Luke Floria has to be mentioned, and then Gage.
Just go with Gage. No, Lavardin. It's not that hard.
There needs to be somebody
that these guys have to throw to. Repeat after me. I could be wrong, but Lavardin. Is it Lavardin or Lavardin?
That's why we're going with Gage in the same way we go with Slade.
Larve.
Ciccone. I can say Ciccone. Well,
I know
no problem
you
with
can
that
now, ever. But we just go with Slade.
That's not true.
Because it sounds cool.
Who was the goal? Oh, Bryson DeChambeau. Remember that? Bryson, were you here?
Oh, I was not here.
I couldn't say DeChambeau's name.
Did you have issues with that?
Oh, I couldn't spit it out ever.
That one I was cool with, and I think it's just because I saw the EAU on the end.
Oh, played for LSU too, right?
Yes.
All right, give me key number two.
Key number two for this game is, on the defensive side of the ball, I want to see the rookies make some kind of splash. What we've talked about with Mason Graham being a game plan wrecker, Carson Schwessinger with the green dot in between there. Again, it's kind of the same similar idea as the offense of having everybody on the same page doing the same thing, but I would like to see those guys make an impact. And I think that would be key number two, is have the high-end rookies make an impact on this game.
All right, I'm going to say key number two in this one is, it goes along the lines of what you're saying, Dylan Sampson and the rest of the running back core, whether it's Pierre Strong or Amani Marshall or Toa or Travion Williams, one of those guys, one of the new guys they brought in this week, they need to get the running game going and getting it going earlier, because it just trickles into what key number one is making things look efficient, especially for Shedeur Sanders. I got to believe they're going to run the ball early in this thing just to get everybody comfortable, even on the first drive. Even if they go three and out on that first drive tonight, because you got so many young guys playing, a lot of guys playing in the NFL for the first time tonight, just hand the ball off. Let the guys get their feet wet early on. If you don't have a drive immediately, don't panic. Don't freak out. It goes back to the efficiency and not having any pre-snap penalties and looking like an offense. So I'm going to put it on Dylan Sampson because he appears to be the lead back for us tonight. All right, lock. I got to give me a lock. Give me quick. Lock, Anthony.
Lock, the Shedeur conversation will not get any definitive answers. He's going to do just well enough to appease the Shahive, but not well enough to get himself into the conversation for QB1.
Yeah.
My lock of this game is pretty much what Anthony just said. That's the only feel that I have. I have a feeling no matter what happens, the Chunk is going to be mad.
Hey, who cares if you're wrong, man? Make a bold statement. You know what I'm saying? Harold Fannin Jr. touchdown tonight.
Oh, that's a goodie.
Yeah, make that's a lock. Yeah, who cares if you're wrong? Give me one guy who's getting in the end zone. I know I got 30 seconds. Go. One guy who's getting in the end zone.
Blake Whitehart.
There's a good one.
I like
that's
that
not a bad one. Stefanski loves him. He's been with him before.
I'll say Gage gets in the end zone.
Oh, you're calling Gage?
I'll go Gage.
All right. And how about Luke Floria? Two touchdowns tonight. Come on, Cardinal, let's go. You know what's next? I'm pumped because we're getting closer to a game. And you know one of the most brilliant segments that's ever been invented in the history of radio is coming up next. It is Quick Predicts. Chris Ostheimer from the Chronicle-Telegram. We're also going to bring in Chris Rose at 1 o'clock. It's all the Chris's coming up here in the next hour. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.